Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. And thank you for listening on this Thursday, April the 27th, 2023. Ed Battagliano is in studio. Good morning.
Hey,
Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Brent Creeley running our control board today. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be coming up the next hour. So we hope you will stay with us as we cover the news of the day. Ed, you want to tell our listeners how they can watch this here show?
Yeah.
If
they would like to watch the live video stream of this program, there are two ways you can do that. You can go to Facebook Live and you can search for Today's Issues and click through. Or you can go to our own streaming platform.
Yeah.
Streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net. You sign up for an account. It's very quick. It's very easy. It's painless. We will own half your property when you're done, but no, I'm just teasing. Folks, it's very quick. And then you can not only watch the live video stream for this program, but most of our other talk shows. And there's a great deal of video content that is available there on our streaming platform.
Chris, what's happening?
Well, let's begin with developing news out of California.
Is it developing, Chris?
It is developing. Developing news out of California, where San Francisco is repealing its ban on city-funded travel to 30 states that San Francisco says restrict abortion and take a stand against radical homosexual agendas. San Francisco determined the boycott was doing more harm than good and hurting the city financially. And what's very interesting about this, guys, the state of California itself is now considering the repeal of a similar law.
Yeah, this is a bunch of woke garbage promoted by Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, and the city of San Francisco did the same thing. What happened is a lot of red states started passing laws, pro-life laws, and also laws having to do with transgenderism and so forth and so on.
And some were, it was for voting.
Trying to secure
the election process.
So what San Francisco and California said, you know what? None of our employees can travel to these red states. We are banning travel to the red states. Take that, red states. Well, now they've come back like 2 years later and said, we're stopping this because it ain't working.
Well, and the thing was, it went beyond that. It's that we're not going to do business with any companies based in these red states.
Yeah, you can't do that in America.
And all of a sudden, they found themselves, a company in a blue state said, well, when I bid for that contract, it's going to be huge because I don't have any competitors from the red states anymore.
Yeah, there's too much interstate commercial business dealings in our country for us to say we're not going to do business in this state or that state because they're blue. They may be red tomorrow or purple the next day. I mean, that just seems kind of unworkable, Ed.
Well, it is, because you also had complications. Like, what about sporting teams? You know, the point was California was basically saying we're not spending any of our money budget
to support the Nazi states.
To support the Nazi states. So does that include flying a baseball team for a tournament or a basketball team or a football team for a bowl game? So it got very complicated very quickly. And to your point, our country is – we do have a major split down the middle in terms of the way we view the world between conservative and quote-unquote progressive. So we are split in that way, but we are also tied intimately together.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have
interstates. Listen, New York is blue, deep blue.
Right.
Okay? I have to go to New York at least once a year.
Right.
To travel, stay in a hotel. I can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just maybe people can do that on a personal level if they want to as far as when it's practical to do, but I'm just saying, like you're saying, there's too much interstate commerce in America to say, I'm not going to do business in a particular state or that particular state for this reason. I just don't think it works. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a prime example. A couple of years back, Georgia passed a very strong 6-week pro-life law. In other words, you couldn't get an abortion in Georgia after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Well, remember that, Hollywood? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, we'll show Georgia. We're not going to make any more TV shows or movies in Georgia. How do you like that? Remember that? That was uh-huh. yelled out by some of the lefties. Well, that lasted a month. Guess what? They're all doing movies and TV shows.
Right.
Atlanta, the greater Atlanta area in Georgia is kind of the new Hollywood of the East now. Mm-hmm. By that, I mean making movies and television
shows. Yeah, Pinewood Studios in Atlanta has its own thing.
It's big. I mean, and they offer tax incentives for these movie companies to film in Georgia. So what I'm saying is the left tried to say we're going to boycott Georgia. It didn't work. It wasn't sustainable. Listen, boycotts and like San Francisco and California tried to do against red states, and they're very hard to sustain. And depending on the size of the company, listen, we asked people not to shop at, i.e. boycott Target, after they said boys are welcome in girls' restrooms in our stores. Well, the response to that was enormous. We got 1.5 million people signed our petition. And we were effective financially. It wasn't just us. There were other groups who were and people who were similarly angry at Target for doing this. And so they lost a lot of stock value, and that eventually came back. And I do think they lost a lot of customers. It's hard to prove a negative, so to speak. In other words, if you lose 1.5 million families who would have otherwise done business potentially with your store, that's a loss, but that's hard to measure. That's hard to see. I'm just saying, and we'll see whether the Bud Light boycott seems to be gaining strength right now. We'll see whether that's sustainable or not, or it has legs. It's just very difficult to keep up a financial pressure on companies or states over a long period of time.
That's why our position with big corporations like Target was not please adopt a Christian view on these issues. It was remain neutral. I still think that is the wisest choice for companies. Just remain neutral. If you make widgets, sell widgets. All right? Get involved
in the culture war. Don't get a transgendered person on the front of your widget bottle.
Because the point of being a company is to sell products.
Right.
So why anger one side or the other?
Right.
To your point, Bud Light is in serious trouble here, I think, going forward. They're losing real money. I don't know whether these customers will stay gone forever. But if they were to try to backtrack and say, we apologize for putting a transgender woman, which means a man, dressed as a woman on our beer cans and using Dylan Mulvaney to be a spokesperson, we apologize. Then they get hammered by the left. So it's best for companies and major corporations to stay out of it. Sell your product and don't insult one half or the other of your customer base.
I think one other thing, then we move on to the next topic. Okay. If you can have a response, i.e. a boycott that is successful and measurably so, and I think Target was, at least for a while, measurably so. It's hard to measure now. Again, how many you lose 1.5 million or more customers, that doesn't show up necessarily in your bottom line on why they're not there anymore. But I just want to say this, and especially what happened with Bud Light here, it does serve to get the attention of companies all over America who look at what happened with Target and now with a Bud Light, and they're going, you know what? We don't want to get in a mess like they're in. We want to stay out of it. Call our marketing people in. Okay, listen, we want to sell our product, but we don't want to get involved in the culture wars. Okay, keep us out of it. Now, that's the approach I think That's not going. They're not going to necessarily come out. The companies aren't going to necessarily come out and have a press conference to announce what I just said. I'm saying behind closed doors, the whole world see what's happening with Bud Light right now. By the way, Disney's hurting too, big time. They're going to have to lay off thousands and thousands of people. They've been suffering. A lot of people think it's because of their woke, at least in part, because of their woke children's movies.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the price of their products, especially the Orlando area theme parks.
I think their streaming platforms have had some trouble.
Yeah, so they're in trouble, too. Who knows why exactly, but but back to California and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I know it pains them to have to, send their employees to Nazi states, but it looks like they're going to have to. It's unavoidable. Next story, Chris.
Well, you mentioned Disney there. They filed a lawsuit against Governor Ron DeSantis and this newly created state tourism board that wants to basically take over governing Florida or Disney World there in the state of Florida. Disney claimed this week in their lawsuit that Governor Ron DeSantis and this tourism board overstepped their authority in trying to take over Disney's parks.
Let me just take a minute and a half and lay this out to make it easy to understand. Okay. Florida, about a year ago, I guess it was about a year ago, maybe less, the state of Florida passed a law at the time in their legislature that said you can't teach about sex to third graders and under in the state of Florida. That should be left to the parents, and it should not be a part of the curriculum. I'm paraphrasing, so to speak, or giving you an overview. No LGBT stuff.
The parental rights in education.
Yes, yes. Bill. Okay, so that's what happened. The media picked up on this and began to call it the Don't Say Gay Law.
Mm-hmm.
To which, for me, I'm saying, I don't care. Don't say gay.
Right.
You call it that if you want to, but it's an unfair characterization of the law.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. It's a lie. What they did right there was they're trying to make DeSantis and the state of Florida look like they're a bunch of bigots. That's mm-hmm. the intent of the national media. When if you ask the average person, do you want third graders talking about gay sex, they're going to go, what? Heck no.
You couldn't talk about straight sex either, though.
Yeah, right. 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 It's not discriminatory in that way. So that's what happened. Okay. In reaction to this, Disney said, you know what? We don't like this law. We're going to do everything we can to see that it's repealed. Okay. That's what happened. Disney said, we're going to engage in politics on a state level. We don't like what the legislature and Governor DeSantis did here, and we're going to try to repeal this law. All right. Governor DeSantis and some others, but him primarily, said, you know what, Disney? First of all, it's wrong of you to try to tell the state legislature that we're wrong on this issue. We're morally right on this issue. And Disney have special privileges in the state of Florida, tax breaks and so forth, and we're going to take those away now. So the issue in the court mm-hmm. that a judge will have to decide, and I don't know how long this will take or how far it's going to go. The issue is, a government cannot punish a company for their freedom of speech rights. You can't be punitive in that way. That's unconstitutional. Jenna Ellis can tell you about this. But what Governor DeSantis will argue is that we're talking about taking away special tax advantage privileges that Disney has enjoyed and other things for 50 years. We're not talking about taking away. You said it, or somebody said it this morning. They're not talking about doing anything. They're talking about taking away special privileges, not enacting punitive laws against punishment against Disney. Have I got that?
Yeah. Now, Chris wants to say something, and then we need to let Fred jump in.
Okay, go.
I was going to say, we do have some audio of Governor Ron DeSantis. You know, he's overseas visiting different countries. In this case, he was in Israel, in Jerusalem specifically, and he did offer a response to the Disney lawsuit, clip two.
That arrangement was not good for the state of Florida. We did not think that that should continue, so we now have brought accountability. And so the idea that somehow being pro-business means giving companies their own governments, that is not what a free market is all about, last I checked. In fact, they've been treated much different than Universal, SeaWorld, and all these other places. I don't think the suit has merit. I think it's political.
What the governor
I don't know
was
why re- I just didn't let him say that instead of me taking 2 minutes.
I didn't want to interject.
I'm sorry
Mr.
about
President.
That, fellas. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize.
But he did mention a term there, self-government. That's the big issue.
Yeah.
When Disney approached Florida many, many, many years ago about setting up there.
That's a very interesting story, by the way.
Yes. The government at the time, the state government in Florida, said, okay, to make the deal attractive to you, Disney, we'll basically carve out a piece of turf there in Orlando, and you will govern it all by yourself. This will be your turf, kind of like a little country inside of Florida.
Vatican City inside
yes.
Italy.
So that's what DeSantis is saying.
And that time's up.
That time is up. We're going to treat you like every other company.
Well, and he didn't say, especially if you're going to get involved in state politics directly to try to repeal a law that protects the children of the state.
Yeah.
DeSantis is right here. He's also smart on this one. He may lose in court. I don't know. Who knows what a judge will say. But I think for the most part, he's winning in the court of public opinion.
He is.
On this particular issue. Now, there are two people that are making fun of DeSantis that shouldn't be. President Trump's making fun of DeSantis on this one, mocking him. I don't know why Trump's decided to take the side of Disney here, but he has. Secondly, Governor Nikki Haley, who's also running for president on the Republican side, yesterday she decided I want to take a shot at DeSantis on this too. And she went on, was it CNN or what?
She was on Fox with John Roberts and
okay,
Sam
what happened,
Smith.
Chris? Set this one up.
Well, she was on there to do, you know, just a campaign event because she is a Republican running for president in 2024. And while Sandra Smith and John Roberts had her on, the news of the Disney lawsuit had just broke, so they wanted to get her thoughts on it. And she was asked to comment on the Disney lawsuit and listen to what Nikki Haley had to say about her soon-to-be opponent for that Republican nomination, clip one.
You know, as governor, I took a double-digit unemployment state and I turned it into an economic powerhouse. Businesses were my partners because if you take care of your businesses, you take care of your economy takes care of the people, and everyone wins. And so that's the way we dealt with it. South Carolina was a very anti-woke state. It still is. And if Disney would like to move their hundreds of thousands of jobs to South Carolina and bring the billions of dollars with them, I'll let them know. I'll be happy to meet them in South Carolina and introduce them to the governor and the legislature that would welcome it.
What? What kind of answer is that? She needs to be saying, you know what? Governor DeSantis and the state legislature of Florida is right to protect their children. And I stand with them, and I don't have anything to say negative about that. No. She said, you know what? I'll poach the state. I'll not that Disney's going to move, but you know what? I'm not going to praise Governor DeSantis for standing up for the children of Florida. I'm going to say I'm siding with Disney on this one. Y'all need to move your company to South Carolina because we're siding with you over DeSantis on this one. How do you read that any other way?
That's exactly what she's saying. Now, former President Trump, he initially warned that he thought Disney might move. I don't think that's
No, they're not going to move. There's too much invested there.
Billions of dollars
invested. You got the weather.
That's a perfect. Yeah. They get a lot, millions of people coming. So I don't think that's really remotely possible. But it sounds like Nikki Haley is taking up that argument and insisting that it's possible that Disney would leave Florida. So she's opening up her state, which for me as a social conservative, makes me concerned about Nikki Haley's views on social issues, because what she should have said is, like you said, She should have said, I agree with Governor DeSantis and the Florida legislature.
Right.
Kindergarten's too early right. for teachers to be telling kids, little boys, you might be girls.
And Disney's wrong girls, for trying to repeal this law.
Yeah, and Disney is wrong. Now, let me just throw in my two cents. While I agree with what Florida did and Governor DeSantis did regarding Disney, I do think they risk losing in court. And here's why. It is true, as we played the quote from Governor DeSantis while he is in Israel, that Disney is getting special privileges. But the when Governor DeSantis and the legislature went after Disney and removed and pulled back, it was in response to what Disney said. And I think they do run the risk of losing court for the very reason you said.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to use that government power in that way.
I think it's a 50-50 mm-hmm. proposition on whether who wins, Disney or Florida. Florida by the man in Governor DeSantis and the legislature on the legal issue. One other thing about what Nikki Haley said, you know how President Trump's been mocking Governor DeSantis, calling him de-sanctimonious?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, so did Nikki Haley yesterday. She decided I'll pile on with that name, too.
She called him that, too?
Read it out loud.
I'm reading the tweet right now.
She tweeted this.
Bear with me.
She didn't say bear with me, Chris.
That's fake news right there.
I'm going off. Okay. She said this. Hey, Disney, my home state will happily accept your 70,000-plus jobs if you want to leave Florida. We've got great weather, great people, and it's always a great day in South Carolina. SC's not woke, but we're not sanctimonious about it either.
Yeah, that is just typical primary season theatrics.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to get worse. I mean, there are going to be people trading barbs with one another as the primary season unfolds.
What about siding with the left and making fun of Governor DeSantis on an issue as serious as this?
That's more harmful for her. It's in other words, it's one thing, sanctimonious and throwing insults. That's just the way politics goes. What's more harmful, I think, to Nikki Haley, unless she's running for the second spot on the Trump ticket, okay, if that's what should he win the nomination, that's more harmful because I've liked some of her foreign policy positions. She is conservative and anti-woke on certain things. This makes me question her social and cultural position.
But why would she join in Trump in saying that Governor DeSantis on this issue is sanctimonious?
I have an idea.
What does that mean? Fred, what does she mean when she calls? I mean, I know, you're right, Ed. A lot of this is just political firing at one another. But this is an issue about grooming children
mm-hmm.
in Florida, and DeSantis has said, no, not going to tolerate that.
I think she's taking a page out of former President Trump's playbook, and that is they see DeSantis, both of them now, see DeSantis as the guy to beat, and so they're going to pile on.
So anything he does good, I need to call bad.
Correct.
Is
that a winning strategy?
Well, I'm not sure how that helps Nikki Haley, unless she's...
It doesn't.
Unless they want to knock DeSantis out of... He's not officially in yet. Knock him out as a true competitor, and then does Nikki Haley think she's going to go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump?
Yeah.
She doesn't have a chance.
I think she did what she did because it resulted in people talking about her good or bad.
Good.
Because she faces a big uphill battle. DeSantis, according to the D.C. Examiner, is going to launch his campaign next month, and she needs people talking about her.
I know that candidates are going to talk about one another, and a lot of times it's unfair, but I'm just saying on an issue as serious as what DeSantis took a stand on in Florida about protecting the children there from grooming and LGBT wackiness, and she calls him self-righteous about it, as does Trump. Trump calls himself righteous, too. I think that's terrible.
God made his design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes.
Big trouble in Essex Junction, Vermont. The school district sending home a letter the other day to parents of fifth graders. It was about the annual science and health unit. The school district decided to use gender-inclusive language this year to align with their equity policy. Instead of saying boy or man, the kids are going to have to say person who produces sperm. Instead of saying girl or female, the kids have to say person who produces eggs. You know, it's really appalling what's happening in our public schools, this effort to cram a gender-neutral agenda down the throats of innocent children. Jack is Jill, Jill is Jack. You know, I'm reminded of a song Mr. Rogers used to sing way back in the day in the neighborhood. Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Only girls can be mommies. Only boys can be the daddies. So simple, even a preschooler can understand. I'm Todd Starnes.
In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Ephesians 1:11.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward. We are discussing the issues of the day. Folks, I do want to remind you to download the AFR app if you have not already done so on your smartphone or other portable listening device, and you can listen to American Family Radio anywhere you have a good internet signal or Wi-Fi or whatever you're using. And so download that app, and we're asking you to tell other folks about American Family Radio.
Go, Chris.
All right. President Joe Biden is in the news today because photographic evidence has revealed that his little press conference yesterday with
why do you call it little, Chris?
Well, it wasn't a huge event, but he had a little press conference yesterday with South Korean officials to talk about various things. And photographic evidence has revealed that President Biden not only had a cheat sheet of which reporters were there, but he had like their names, their faces, how to pronounce their name, and most importantly, he even had the question that the reporters were going to ask him. And I have some audio here of various people responding to this. Let's begin with this one. It's Fox News contributor Joe Concha on Fox and Friends this morning saying Biden's handlers did this yesterday because they're terrified of him flying solo and actually answering questions himself. Clip three.
This president continues to be the most protected, the most homogenized, the most inaccessible president that we have seen in modern times. And yes, he did do a joint solo press conference yesterday. It wasn't solo, obviously. It was with the leader of South Korea. He has yet to do a solo press conference this entire year. It hasn't been since November, since he's actually been up in that sort of situation for an extended period of time. And that's because his handlers are petrified that he can't do this very well for an extended period of time in terms of answering real questions.
Brad?
Shame, shame, shame
Gomer Powell.
On the Los Angeles Times reporter who agreed to live by the rules of the White House, who apparently said we'll only take questions from reporters who tell us in advance what the question is, give us your picture, and by the way, you got a strange last name, so we'll do phonics on the little cheat sheet for the president who can't put it all together. I mean, what an embarrassment.
It's like flashcards for Biden. You know what? The L.A. Times, well, this only proves, once again, as Fred's noted this many times over the liberal, the mainstream news media, they're the public relations arm of the Democratic Party.
Right. Yes.
And so you have a major news outlet like the Los Angeles Times, and the White House says, give us your question in advance so Biden can look good. And they go, hey, we're a team player. Here's the question.
Yeah.
And here's the reporter. And here's a picture of her.
And we'll type out the answer, too, so Joe can read the answer.
Yeah, you know, that was the press coverage.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little liberal here.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't have a problem with the cheat sheet in terms of the reporter's name.
I agree with that.
And how to pronounce her
name. I agree with that.
I would probably appreciate that if I was in Joe Biden's shoes. The fault does lie with the mainstream media, though, because to your point, when you say, Los Angeles Times speaking, we're team players, you're not supposed to be on Joe Biden's team.
You don't give him the question in advance.
You don't give the question
That's the whole point of doing an impromptu interview, is to get the reaction of somebody who doesn't exactly know what question you're going
to
ask.
Hey, before we move forward with this story, because Chris is just, he's dying to add to
the story. He's got more.
Let me just ask, I'll ask all three of you. What do you think, Joe Biden, we already have two Democrats who are running, Marianne Williamson, okay, granted, she's a new age kind of wacko, all right, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Light the incense.
Yes, he has a little more heft to him. He's a old school, I think, old school liberal. There, he's announced. I don't know who else might announce. Do you think Joe Biden debates his opponents?
We dealt with this yesterday while you were away.
Okay, so he has said no debates?
No, DNC, no debates. There's not going to be any primary debates.
Yes, because they can't. They can't allow President Joe Biden to be on the stage.
He can't do it,
even against Democrats.
No.
Who you'd think would be on at least 90% of issues on the same page.
Listen, Biden stayed in the basement for the whole campaign last time against Trump.
With the geese in the background.
Yeah, and that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's not getting out on the campaign. He's not going to do debates. No. I doubt he'd even do one with the Republican. He might.
He'd have to do one.
Well, he'd do one. He'll do one. But, I mean, listen, 100% of Americans know he doesn't need to run for president. Democrats don't want him to run. He's too elderly. He's not up to the job physically, mentally. Whether you agree with his politics or not, there's a separate issue. So he is a very weak candidate that the Democrats are going to put forward. Quite frankly, I'm a little stunned. And that may change. It may, but he's announcing right now he's going to run. Of course, the election, presidential election, is a year from November. You're talking about 17, 18 months out. I don't know. If I were a Democrat strategist, I would be terrified of the prospects of having of losing in losing the House, Senate, and the White House in November of 2024. Go ahead.
I was just going to point out, if anybody's curious, the reporter from the L.A. Times is Courtney Subramanian, whose name I might have just mispronounced myself. But her question was this: how are you squaring your domestic priorities, like reshoring semiconductor manufacturing, with alliance-based foreign policy?
That's the same question I would have asked.
Oh, yeah.
If I'd have been allowed to. You know what I'm saying?
I would have asked not about semiconductors. I would have been asked about full conductors.
Also, if anybody...
A semiconductor, that's just half. That's half of a full conductor.
Yeah. By the way, I did look it up. If anybody is curious as to how long Joe Biden has been involved in politics... The Carpenters only had three albums when he arrived in Washington, D.C.
The Carpenters, your favorite group.
What was the question about the conductors now?
How are you squaring your domestic priorities, reshoring semiconductor manufacturing with alliance-based foreign policy?
I would have said, listen, I support all train conductors.
Yeah, even the part-time ones.
You know what I'm saying? Because I remember when I used to get on the Amtrak and they'd say, hey, Joey.
Even the trans conductors. That's Joe Biden.
Fist bump for that one. That was
by the way,
clever.
I'm working on developing the ability to be invisible because I want to be transparent.
Jay.
And they would lead with that. That would be on CNN. They'd come in cold open. I want to be transparent.
Listen, I just wouldn't want to be a Democrat. Right? The reason they're not going to let him do interviews, and, you know, it isn't like this is a big secret. We all know why they're not going to let him do, especially one-on-one interviews. Can you imagine sitting an hour doing an interview or 30 minutes and the danger that, you know, he has his good days and bad days and good hours and bad hours, Biden. He might do fine for 3 days in a row. And then because he's in the mental decline that he's in, and he's getting older, like we'll all be there one day if you live long enough. It's
Fred's already there.
Here we go, throwing our hurl in
it. Remember the BET interview where he seemingly fell asleep and the guy didn't know if he fell asleep?
Oh,
he
was my goodness, I forgot all
president,
about that.
Like that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're going to take here. All right. I'm going to say something else we all know. Don't get mad at me.
I hope it's not liberal, Tim.
No, I don't think it's liberal.
For one liberal on this panel.
I don't think it's liberal at all. It's just a political observation that almost the whole world recognizes. And this is not a slight on President Trump from my perspective. I'm not personally slighting him. Okay, don't misunderstand. But what I'm telling you is this. The Democrats and Biden think they can beat Trump. Mm-hmm. By staying in the basement and not doing anything else. Because Trump has such high negatives among independents and a lot of women in this country, they think they can beat Trump without having to work hard at it.
That's right.
Whether that's would prove to be true or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what they're thinking. I think they are worried, the Democrats, are more worried about facing Governor DeSantis, should he be the Republican nominee. Now, that's what I've just described is sort of conventional wisdom at the moment, politically speaking. Mm-hmm. However, Governor DeSantis has not announced yet. He said he's going to, his spokespeople have said he's going to in a couple of weeks, right?
Mid-May somewhere.
And polling shows that he trails former President Trump for the Republican nomination. Now, whether DeSantis can catch Trump or not, who knows what's going to happen in the next few months, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just telling you, you would say, well, why don't they ask Biden to get out and put somebody else in? Because Kamala Harris is on deck. They want Biden to keep fouling off balls. They don't want. They know Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
My apologies. Kamala Harris is going to strike out in three pitches. Mm-hmm. So, you like my baseball metaphor I got going on here?
I like it.
Okay. So, now, have I said anything that most people don't recognize here?
No. In fact, I think if President Trump gets the nomination for the GOP nomination, I think the Biden campaign could actually survive not debating. In other words, it'd be since 1960, we've had presidential debates. I think here's what the Biden campaign says. If President Trump has the nomination for the GOP, they will say the president of the United States is not going to debate Donald Trump. First of all, he's a criminal. Okay. I'm saying that's what they'll say. He's got all kinds of legal issues, and we all know what he believes, and the president has too much to do running the country. You can't get away with that if the GOP nominee is DeSantis or somebody
right,
else.
Right, right, somebody else.
You can't get away with that because other than Trump, the GOP nominees would be an unknown quantity.
Right, and with Donald Trump, everybody's got a fixed opinion. People aren't going to change much from 2 years ago. You might say, well, the weakened state of Biden would cause Trump to get more votes. Maybe that's true. I just think a rerun, I just think people have seen enough of President Trump over the last 6 years to have formed a fixed opinion about whether they want him to be president again.
And by the way, I'm not saying that President Trump is a criminal.
No, he's not.
I think all these attacks, legal attacks, are a bunch of baloney. All right, I'm saying that's what the Democrats will say,
right. And that works with a lot of independent voters.
It works with independent voters, and the Biden campaign could survive the political fallout
right.
with that argument.
Right. Go ahead, Fred.
But I think there's a significant number of Americans who don't want Biden and who don't want Trump.
That's what the polling shows.
That
over and
is
over
the big story in 24.
Right. They don't
want either man for a variety of reasons.
They don't want Ollie Foreman 3.
No, they don't.
They don't want Rocky 6.
No.
Most Americans.
Yes. They are looking for a fresh face, a younger individual. And
I'm kind of surprised Gavin Newsom. That Biden didn't just say, listen, I'm going to support Gavin Newsom of California to take my place.
Because I think right now the DNC says we're going to put our money on Biden.
But he couldn't do that because Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. He would have to bypass her. Biden would.
Yes.
And that would speak terribly about his judgment and about her.
But I think we've also seen the strategy for Biden's camp also. You're going to see they have lots of money. The DNC has lots and lots of money.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to spend it on the ads. We've already seen two or three ads just in the last two or three days. They're going to keep producing ads that make him look nice and polished.
Right.
That's going to be the strategy.
Oh, yeah.
The ads.
But I think, much like Trump, people have a fixed opinion of Biden already. Mm-hmm. He's been in politics so long. I don't think there's much he can do to change people's opinions at this point.
Nope.
And, you know, we're going to get down to this, too. We can talk about this more going forward. America is a 50-50 country, basically. 50% of the Americans will vote Republican, 50% will vote Democrat. We've seen that over and over again. It's amazing how statistically...
Whoever's running. Right.
That's what I'm saying. So they're the people that make the decisions for who's going to be a president, for example... have narrowed now to, you know, what, maybe 20-30% of Americans who are independents,
mm-hmm.
who don't think about politics much until 2 or 3 weeks before election. Those kind of folks who vote maybe more on pocketbook issues,
yeah.
Those kind of people. And then also you got to look at the swing states. Now, we've reduced – our country's presidential election has been reduced – really, really not much of a national election anymore in the sense that most states have chosen. We're red, we're blue, and it doesn't matter if a dead man's running
right.
as our If it's weekend at Bernie's, I'm voting. If he's a Republican, I'm voting for Bernie. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've pretty much chosen our sides here for the last few presidential elections. Mm-hmm. We're going back to Gore Bush, pretty much. So there's a handful of states, what, six or seven maybe?
Yeah.
I can name them. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota,
Virginia,
a few of the Big Ten states, mm-hmm. Virginia, Arizona, and North Carolina,
Nevada,
Georgia.
Sometimes a little.
There's about eight states.
Florida was. Florida. You mentioned Ohio, right?
Florida's but, red now,
and Ohio's pretty.
And
much
Ohio's red,
red
now. Mm-hmm. Ohio and Florida are red now. Arizona, there's another one that could
Georgia,
go either way.
Georgia,
Georgia's been, could go either way. It recently so. Those are the states, really, you have to say we're gonna concentrate on if you're a Republican or a Democrat to try to win those states.
Yep.
So, but it's going to be interesting going forward for the next the first Republican debate is August.
Yes.
In Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. In Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And we don't know at this point whether President Trump is going to participate or not.
He's leaning no.
Right.
Right now.
Right. That would be interesting to see. Let's ask Alex about this. Dr. Alex McFarland, who's been waiting for 7 minutes to be on this show when he could have been shelling peanuts there in Florida. I mean, in North Carolina. How you doing,
Alex? I'm thoroughly enjoying listening to this. This is great radio, fellas.
Well, let me ask, what do you
great
think?
Great radio.
What do you think? Do you think President Trump will debate the other Republican candidates in Milwaukee in August, or you think he'll sit it out?
It's July. The Republican convention's in July.
I think he has to. I mean,
dates,
you know.
July 15th through 18th.
Hold on just a second, Alex. Excuse me just a minute. Just to clarify. I'm talking about a Republican debate.
Oh, the debate. I'm sorry.
Did I say convention?
No. The convention.
Okay. The convention's in July. The first debate
next
is
year.
In August.
It's August.
Yeah. I should have been looking at my note card, my cheat sheet.
I'm going to extend grace.
Appreciate the work you put into that card, though, Brent.
I forgive you.
Okay, thank you.
Can I get back to Alex?
Yes, sir. Get back to Alex. My bad, Alex.
Alex, Ed had an 11-month lapse of time there on what we were talking about. Anyway, what do you think? You think President Trump will debate the other Republican candidates or say, no, I'm my lead is insurmountable, like he said the other day, and I can't be beat, so why want to debate?
Yeah, I think it would be dangerous to presume that, his lead is insurmountable. I think he ought to, because, listen, I respect President Trump, and I was an early adopter promoting him. And
I criticized you for it.
But
at lunch,
listen,
that day, you remember that?
I remember that.
You
and I
for lunch.
I had a heart-to-heart talk.
You and Robert Jeffress.
Yeah, exactly. And but he's got some. Donald Trump has got, I think, a lot of brand issues that need some work. And so, if he would participate, it would be an opportunity to try to do some image building. Wouldn't you guys think so?
Go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
Plus he. Has a good record to run on. I think that's what he should be doing rather than talking about Ron DeSantis. I think he ought to be running on his record. He ought to be running on what Joe Biden has done to this country since the 2020 election. That's what I think the former president should be talking about.
You think about, when Joe Biden announced his reelection plans, he said, quote, finish the job. And I thought, oh, Lord help us. Yeah, we're just about finished.
We're close.
Yeah, we're all but finished. I would agree.
That's the biggest, bless your heart I've ever heard.
It's like, I would like to finish off America as a country.
That's right. The next ad will say, well, let's put the nail in this coffin.
I mean, it's not funny, but it is funny. Finish the job.
Yeah, Donald Trump could say, look, I think everybody's got to agree. Look, maybe you don't like Trump. Maybe you think he's an odious person and you wouldn't want to have dinner with him. But you got to admit, by any measuring stick, it was a better, stronger, healthier America.
Oh, no question. No question. And no, he was the man for the job in 2016. I don't think anybody questioning that. The question is what in the since 2020 and the fact that he's 77 years old this June, there's a lot of baggage too there to consider with independent voters. And you're right, and Ed's right. Looking at Donald Trump for 4 years in the White House, I think most conservatives would say, you know, job, you did as good as you could.
And disregarding for a moment the arguments about the legitimacy of 2020 and all that, I think if it had not been for COVID, President Trump
he'd have been reelected.
Reelected easily.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with that. But this isn't 2020. This isn't 2020 anymore. A lot of dynamics have changed. That's when I hear people say, well, Ron DeSantis, the governor, is being, quote, disloyal to Trump. I'm going like, wait a minute now. Trump did support Governor DeSantis in his initial run for governor in 2018. That's true. And Governor DeSantis, in his book, thanked Donald Trump and acknowledges that.
Mm-hmm.
But because somebody endorses you one time, do you owe a lifetime of allegiance to everything they want you to do? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So here's the question. That's true.
Though,
go ahead.
Whether Trump's candidacy and brand, shall we say, can become viable. I mean, I think he could legitimately promise to fix all that Biden has broken. I wonder, though. See, because DeSantis proportionately is outraising Trump by a huge margin. Now, I know Trump might seem to have, right this moment, better polling numbers, but DeSantis, from what I'm reading and hearing, DeSantis is outraising Trump financially by a large margin. Here's the question, though. Is DeSantis even interested in running this time?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
he's going to announce in a couple weeks.
Yeah, but he's got a long future ahead of him, and this is probably Trump's last chance if he continues to move forward. But hey, you think about this: when Joe Biden first went to Washington, January 5th, 1971, he was sworn in. All in the Family wasn't even on TV yet. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody mentioned the Carpenters only had 3 albums out back then. Joe Biden first ran for president in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
That's 35 years ago.
Why did he drop out, though, Alex?
Yes, I know. Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know. Didn't have the traction.
Wasn't there questions about him lifting somebody else's
plagiarism?
Plagiarism.
Yeah.
Hey, really? What do you think about Alex about the way that Donald Trump has gone after Ron DeSantis, calling him, saying he's turned Florida into a state of misery, and saying that he's just saying Governor
bad
DeSantis,
form.
Huh?
Bad form. Look, everybody's moving to Florida. Florida is by most metrics in great shape right now, and I really, far be it from me to coach a former president, but I think attacking Ron DeSantis is very counterproductive. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think, as I said earlier, he should run on his record, and he should run on Biden's record, and I think he has a legitimate argument to make by talking about whoever else is going to announce. If DeSantis does, certainly looks like he's going to. However, other many candidates announce, President Trump is the only one who can say, I've been there, I've been in the White House, I don't have to go to visit Japan and visit Israel, I've negotiated the Abraham Accords, I'm the only one on the GOP side who can fix what Joe Biden has broken.
Let me get this straight. President Trump says he got Ron DeSantis elected governor. The first time. Then, now he's saying that Governor DeSantis has turned Florida into a place of misery. So does that mean that President Trump is going to take credit for the misery? Because
he'll say, I gave DeSantis a shot and he blew it.
That's what he's saying. Anyway, all this stuff. Hey, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.